You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
All right, now we're ready. Final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the Great One, Lonzo, and you rolling through the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere. You know why it's really good that we're on for 4 hours? It's really good that we're on for 4 hours.
Is it because we really care?
Nah. I mean, we do, but that's not why.
Is it because we give hugs to everyone on the air?
We give, but it's not hugs.
Okay.
What we give is an opportunity for you and three chosen people of your life.
You know, you keep saying that as if maybe you might be one of those chosen. I've noticed that without you actually coming out and saying that. I mean,
well, first off, and I don't know all the rules, but I don't think I'm allowed to go. I don't think I'd be allowed to go even if somebody, you know, really, really, really liked me and said, you know, who would be awesome as a tour guide and travel agent to Las Vegas? Rob Brown.
Yeah, it would look a little shady.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be allowed to go. This is out of the goodness of my heart to all of you. You have the opportunity to go to beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
What are you doing?
It's like a Vegas show tune kind of thing.
Does it?
You know? Like the start of a Vegas show.
Oh, okay.
When Wayne Newton comes out and they hit him with the jazz band in the background.
Sounds more like Price is Right.
That's kind of the same vibe. Kind of the same vibe. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the corpse of Wayne Newton. And the old 80-year-old ladies go wild. Anyway, you don't have to go see Wayne Newton. You do have $5,000 spending cash for you and the other three people in your travel party to go see whoever and whatever you want to. Shania Twain's there. Yes, please.
Yeah, I was going to say Shania Twain's there. And there's some other artists in residency.
Kenny Chesney's about to start one at The Sphere, which I think only costs like $5,000 to get in. So
you probably don't want to worry about going to The Sphere. You could drive by it, though.
I got to tell you, it's on the bucket list for me, dude. I've seen videos. Deck went to a show. Saw you two there. Send me some videos of it. It's on the bucket list. It's on the bucket list. Let's see. Who's in Vegas right now that you could go see? We know Shania Twain is there right now. Let's see. I don't need an advertisement here. All of Las Vegas. I just need shows. Anyway, point is, the Slam Dunk in Vegas competition is on right now. Donny Osmond, Just Donnie, though. Rod Stewart. If you're
by the way, I hear Donnie puts on a killer show. There's a reason why he's been in Vegas for a while. He might be the next Wayne Newton. Although Donnie's probably about the same age as Wayne. I don't know.
Dita Von Teese.
Who?
She does a cabaret show.
Yeah, probably you don't want to take kids to that.
Nope. Nope. I'm just saying, though.
Your eyes got really big. That was weird.
I'm into what I'm into. What do you want? She's like the Rhea Ripley of dancing ladies. Okay. Barry Manilow.
What? She's into goth and looks like a dude?
No, she's like a like a raven-haired 40-style pinup girl, but she does like cabaret shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Babyface is playing right now. Killswitch Engage. Lita Ford.
Ooh, Lita Ford and Babyface. I'm both of those.
Chicago, yeah. One of my favorite geographically banned named bands.
Boss might be listening.
Robert Cray. Janet Jackson.
Ooh, Robert Cray.
Deftones. Wayne Newton, The Corpse of. Mary J. Blige. Pitbull.
Okay. Mary J. Blige.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mary J. Blige is the one that doesn't seem to fit in Vegas.
100% I'd go see Mary J. Blige in concert. 1,000%.
I mean, Pitbull was destined to end up in Vegas.
Without a doubt. Mariah Carey. David Blaine.
Wait.
Maroon
okay.
5. Blake Shelton.
We have been lied to. I thought Mariah Carey is frozen at this time of year.
Lonzo now wants an invitation. The legendary. The illustrious. The one, the only. Bryan Adams. In residency in Vegas right now. You have to turn off your mic. You could have talked about your love.
I am seriously considering grabbing that Diet Dr. Pepper bottle and hitting you with it.
Garth Brooks. I feel like the you get the point. Point is Vegas is awesome. And right now our slam dunk in Vegas giveaway is on. And you have a chance to win round trip airfare and accommodations at the Circa Resort and Casino for you and the three travel party members of your choice. And all you have to do is grab the Audacy app for free, by the way, AUDACY. Download it onto your digital devices. Register for free on the Audacy app. When you do, search for the Fan Upstate in the little search bar, click the little heart icon, and knock out the Fan Upstate as a favorite. Every time you open the Audacy app from that point forward, all you got to click is one button, and wango bango, you're listening to the Fan Upstate. It is that simple and that easy. But wait, there's more. If you listen to the Fan Upstate for 60 minutes, you and three travel partners of your choosing are entered to win round trip airfare, accommodations at the Circa Casino and Resort, passes to Stadium Swim, which I'm convinced there's not a better place to watch sports on a basketball court-sized television in America, and $5,000 per person. That's $20,000 in total that you can go to Vegas and just blow. Just go bananas. Just spend it all. One trip. Have at it. Buy you some Garth Brooks tickets. Go bananas. All you got to do is go to the Audacy app, listen to the Fan Upstate for 60 minutes, and you are automatically entered for your chance to win the grand slam, slam dunk, home run, touchdown, whatever. The Slam Dunk in Vegas competition. You, three friends, round trip, accommodations, and $5,000 spending cash just for you. Go to the Audacy app, listen to the Fan Upstate for 60 minutes, and you are automatically entered. Okie dokie, let's talk about some stuff here on the show. Let's go with, I don't even know where to start here. Oh. You know what sucks? I'll tell you what sucks.
Vacuum cleaners.
Hey-o. I'll tell you what sucks. Lonzo, you and I have had this discussion before. The feeling that you get when you watch a movie and you are heavily invested in that movie And you know, you love the main character, and you love the story, and you love the plot. And then you get to the end of the movie, and the bad guy wins. Kind of stings a little bit, right? Seven. Remember Seven? What's in the box?
Yeah, I never watched Seven.
Oh.
I know all about it, but I never watched it.
Great movie. Great movie. Seven's a movie where even though the bad guy gets caught, the bad guy wins. No Country for Old Men. Anton Chigurh. Hate that movie. However, one of the greatest movie bad guys of all time, Anton Chigurh. And he just walks out of the movie. He just does all the bad guy things and then he leaves.
Apparently my son and his friends go around quoting that all the time.
It's a great movie.
And he's mentioned that to me and I said, yeah, Rob Brown hates that movie.
Hate that movie.
And so if Rob Brown hates that movie, why would I watch it?
People who love that movie are people that I feel like pretend to be big, smart, deep people. And it's like, it's not. It's just not. The Usual Suspects. Bad guy gets away with it. Primal Fear.
Yeah, the bad guy got away with it. The star.
Yeah.
No, you're missing the point. Never mind.
Point is, you know that feeling you get when you heavily invest in a movie and then you get to the end of the movie and the bad guy gets away and you just have this gut feeling like, ugh. Ugh. Okay. Enter the Dallas Mavericks. Because I realized something last night. You know, I floated last week almost out of funsies. I floated and then supported, as did Dwayne Wade, a conspiracy theory about the trade of Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers in return for two players, one of which was Anthony Davis, and a first-round pick. And I know this trade's bad because, pop quiz time, everybody, pencils up. It has been less than 2 weeks since that trade went down. Who was the other player besides Anthony Davis? Quick. Who was the other player besides Anthony Davis that got sent to the Dallas Mavericks? None of you remember. Okay, a couple of you remember. Max Christie was the other player that got sent with Anthony Davis in a first-round pick in return for Luka Doncic. Well, the Dallas Mavericks played their first game back in the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, over the weekend. Now, we talked a little bit about it yesterday because it took 31 minutes as a Dallas Maverick before Anthony Davis went down with an injury that is going to keep him out for at least a month. 31 minutes before Anthony Data Davis went down. 31 minutes before the return of street clothes. And, you know, that maybe we just chalk that up to unlucky, unfortunate. Obviously, that's kind of been the story of AD's career so far. But hey, unlucky, unfortunate, right? I mean, all you gave up for that guy was a 25-year-old generational superstar who is projected to be the face of arguably the most notorious American sports franchise for, I don't know, the next decade or so. No big deal. NBD, no worries. You got this, right? The Mavs returned home, and they had a sellout crowd. Welp. About halfway through the game, the Mavs did like every other professional sports team does, and they did fan cam. You know, they turn the camera on the stand. They do like kiss cam, or they do like flex cam, or they do like whatever cam. And they allow the audience to have, the crowd to have, the fans to have a couple of minutes to have their faces up on the Jumbotron. As somebody who has worked in sports for a very long time, I can tell you that fans love very little more than seeing themselves up on the Jumbotron. So they did a fan cam. And wouldn't you know it, great one, it didn't go great. Because multiple fans got, let's say, disruptive. One fan leaned towards the camera and very clearly mouthed, "Fire Nico." Of course, talking about the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, who traded Luka Doncic out of town in return for 31 minutes of Anthony Davis action. Another fan held up a sign that he smuggled into the basketball game that said, you want to take a guess at what it said?
Fire Nico.
Fire Nico. 100% it did. Those fans, along with other fans in the building who smuggled in signs and made their opinions very obvious, were kicked out of the game. The guy who leaned into the fan cam and said, "Fire Nico," very clearly, escorted out of the game. There were videos going around on social media showing security guards walking this guy out as if he had just murdered somebody. Like a six-man security guard unit surrounding this cat like they were in a high maximum security prison.
That man was framed.
It wasn't me.
They set him up.
It was the terrible GM one-armed man. Not a great look for the Dallas Mavericks, to not just make what is already, after 31 minutes for AD and one game for Luka Doncic, being considered perhaps the worst trade in the history of the National Basketball Association, to then start kicking paid customers out of the building. Here's why the situation sucks. Not because they did that, which does suck. You're a bunch of thin-skinned wusses, Dallas Mavericks front office. But that's not the part that sucks. The part that sucks, Lonzo, is that we have just started this movie and we know the bad guys are going to win. Why? Because this is a no-lose scenario for the NBA Dallas Mavericks ownership group. If the fans say, you know what, Mavs? You know what? Go yourselves. We're not paying. We're not buying tickets. We're not buying merch. We're not watching on TV. The owners get to go to the NBA and go, hey, Dallas is an unsupportive market. Dallas doesn't buy in. They're not spending money. They're not buying tickets. They're not buying merch. We would like to move. And Adam Silver goes, you know, I've been looking to have a team in Las Vegas, Nevada. Maybe you're my team. Or the opposite is true. The fans go, you know what? We don't want to lose the team. Even if we hate them, even if we're mad at them, we don't want to lose the team, so we're buying tickets, we're buying merch, we're watching on TV. And then what happens? The owners get all their money. It is a no-lose scenario for the ownership of the Dallas Mavericks. They can just straight up kick everybody that criticizes the team up out of the building. And if everybody in Dallas collectively says, bleep you, we're not coming to games anymore, great, we're moving the team to Vegas because you're an unsupportive community, an unsupportive market. And if you do go to the games, great, we'll take all your money and be richer. The fans cannot win. The bad guy is going to win, and there's no other alternative.
All right,
that sucks.
I hate to kill this for you because this absolutely will. The owners have said they have no interest in moving to
Vegas. Well, it's a good thing billionaires don't lie all the time.
Exactly. So I'm sorry. Sorry, I could have let that go, but they have said that they're not moving to Vegas. So you absolutely have to believe them.
Yeah. It's a good thing billionaires don't lie to us all the time. Every time they talk, they lie. It's what they do. You can't get $1 billion without lying and hurting people. It's impossible to do without lying and hurting people. You can't do it. So, no, I don't believe him. The game plan was on the wall from the beginning. Option one, we stay, you give us a bunch of money, you give us tax breaks, we get to build our new stadium and put a casino attached to it. Or option two, you don't show up, you don't buy tickets, you don't buy merch, you don't support us, we blame it all on you, and we piece off to Las Vegas, Nevada, where we can make a gazillion damn dollars. You can't win, fans. Welcome to the world of American sports. It's very depressing. See you on the other side of the break. It's the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. The Fan Upstate, Rob Alonzo and you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That's the number to call the show. That's the number to text the show. Lonzo, when he rolled up in here this morning, we have our pregame ritual every day. I get in here sometime right around 4:30 or so, start putting in the sound, start shaping up the outline. Lonzo rolls in here just a couple of minutes after me in the AMs. And we have our, you know, our morning conversation, which is literally never about the show. But this morning, Lonzo, in talking about the fact that his grandbaby won a basketball championship yesterday, we got to talking about the game. Now, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that I am a massive believer in youth sports, not just the sports themselves, but on top of the sports themselves, the life lessons that they teach. The fact that you learn how to be a good teammate, how to win with grace and lose with dignity, how to accept defeat, how to consistently be working towards victory, etc., 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 platitudes upon platitudes. All very important stuff. I also believe that in order to teach those lessons, that some of y'all as parents got to calm the hell down. Your six-year-old ain't earning a basketball scholarship yet, so relax a little bit, okay? Just relax. Ain't no need to. And on top of that, we should, after every game, be handing volunteer coaches and referees and league administrators and whatnot flowers and chocolates and notes of appreciation and gratitude for putting on youth sports so that our youths can learn some things about life. Now, that's not what this segment is about. Lonzo this morning said something to me about a theory that he has about my favorite sport, the great sport of shooty hoops. Lonzo, would you like to enlighten and inform the people what your take is and how it was that a youth basketball game, you feel, confirmed your belief about my favorite sport?
Okay, so we're talking about the positive, not the negative thing, right? Because remember, there were two things that
there were two things, but I'm talking about the one I wrote down.
Okay, all right.
I do want to get to the other thing, but I like this one first.
Yeah, okay, all right. So I have always thought of basketball being talent above discipline. So I've watched four different 6-year-old basketball teams, how they were coached. So they have an evaluation and they pick players, and they really, all these kids are just starting out. So the team that my granddaughter's on has a very talented player. He doesn't never miss, but his percentage of shots are way up there. And fast breaks, boom, down, layup, points over and over again, always around the ball. That kind of kid, a kid who looks like in ability, he's like a 12-year-old playing with 6-year-olds, even though he's only at 6 years old. The team my granddaughter's on, not a lot of practice, but you got this great player, and then you have a couple players that are aggressive. Maybe their shots don't go down, but they're aggressive. And then the rest of the team is so-so. The other three teams in this small league had very disciplined coaches. They're doing, you know, two lines, doing defensive stuff, doing, learning all the major fundamentals that I think was, to me, probably above their age group. But they listened to their coaches and they did all this. And so I believe in basketball that talent can beat discipline. And I think it's at all levels of basketball. And basketball, I believe, is the most talent-driven of the sports. If you got that one guy, and you can surround him with guys that are not his equal, but are serviceable and maybe slightly above the average, they're going to win just about every time.
I do not fully disagree with this take. I find it a very compelling take. I think there are, much like with every rule, exceptions to it. For instance, Clemson v. Duke over the weekend. The most talented player on the basketball court and the most talented team on the basketball court was the Duke Blue Devils. And the Duke Blue Devils came down to Clemson, South Carolina, and they got beat by the Clemson Tigers. Clemson, on paper, not as talented as Duke. However, Clemson on paper, not nearly as far behind Duke as a lot of people coming into this game thought they were going to be. It's a pretty good basketball team. Early in the year, this basketball team did not have an identity. I think that is kind of one of those things that you could chalk up into that discipline category, right? Discipline is how you find your identity. I will say this. I don't know how to quantify where the tipping point is, but there is a place where undisciplined with exceptional talent absolutely beats wildly disciplined but just not as good. Because basketball, a team sport, 5-on-5, played in an organized way, 5-on-5, this is why I love this sport. Basketball is a 5-on-5 game in which, great one, there are 5 1-on-1 games happening at the same time. Right? Basketball is a 5-on-5 sport with 5 1-on-1 games happening at the same time. The guy with the ball versus the guy D'ing him up. The guy closest to the guy with the ball versus whoever the next defender is responsible for them, and et cetera, down till you get to the last guy. And that's what makes basketball interesting. And the reality is, the one-on-one matchup that matters the most is guy with the ball versus man that's on the guy with the ball. Now, other guys on the floor can impact that matchup. They can have an outside influence on that matchup. A defender sliding over and closing the gap without creating a two-on-one situation can influence that outcome. One of the things when I used to coach youth basketball and win, inevitably, I get back into it at some point. One of the first practices I will run with any given team, I'm old school, baby. We don't even bring a basketball to the first practice. Why? Because I want you moving off the ball. I need you to know where to go when you don't have the ball. That way, when that guy gets the ball, when our Jordan gets the ball, I need the other four people on the court to recognize and understand that every step you take, every move you make, impacts, influences what's happening with the guy on the ball. I need the guy that is the guy to recognize the influence they have on the play when they don't have the ball. There is a tipping point where a team that is like this talented is playing a team that's this talented, and they're, you know, they're in the same mark. Maybe it's like the second ranked team versus the 23rd ranked team. They're, as much as that's a big differential in the ranking, there's 100 and some odd teams. Those two teams are closer than you might think. And so a team that's a little less talented, but is exceptionally well disciplined, they have a shot, but it's not a guarantee. I don't think your theory is incorrect. I think there is absolutely a tipping point where even if the team is undisciplined, if the team just has that much more basketball talent on it, they can beat the most disciplined team out there because it's just a competition of athleticism and they're just dogs. They just got you beat. The reason that you see the teams over the years in NCAA ball that for some reason, even when it looks like they should drop off, that they continue to hang around in that spot. They continue to show up. They kind of continue to be a part of the conference discussion is because they do both. It's because they do both. I look at North Carolina this year, who Clemson beat last night. I didn't beat. Beat the brakes off of last night. That is a team that does not have the level of basketball talent that they have had in years gone by, and also is an undisciplined basketball team. They just don't have their identity. They don't know who they are. This is one of the reasons that I think old Hubert is not long for his position at North Carolina. Because even if you don't have the guys that North Carolina has historically had, the one thing you should always have is that UNC, you represent the Heels' discipline and mentality. They don't have that. You know what Brad Brownell has? Underappreciated talent and talent that knows its role and its space on the floor. A disciplined basketball team. Are they going to beat Duke more often than not? Not really. Not really. Duke can out-talent them. What happened with Duke? Late in the game, they found themselves in a ball game and they broke down mentally. They lost their discipline. Clemson's not as far behind Duke as they were made out to be. Their discipline ended up winning that situation. They were able to put Cooper Flagg where they wanted him on the floor to lower Duke's number of high percentage shots. And then they took advantage of that. Talent beats discipline in basketball, unlike in other sports. Really, really good discipline teams at least give themselves a shot. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We open this segment talking about movies in which the bad guy wins, gets away with it. And the reason that those movies are interesting are because of the drama. Well, I didn't expect this to be something that popped up into my radar late yesterday afternoon. Alas, here we are. Things at the end of the season started going better for the Carolina Panthers. Started going better. Bryce Young looked like the guy that Rob Brown told you he was going to be, and nobody believed him, but that's okay. I know ball. Even if you don't know I know ball, you're going to learn I know ball. Dave Canales' offense started looking like, oh, maybe it can work a little bit. Dan Morgan's boys, the newly drafteds, started to kind of find their stride, find their vibe a little bit. I think most of you as Panther fans felt a heck of a lot better at the end of the year than you felt at the beginning of it, like I told you you would. But put that aside. Let's not just pat me on the back the whole segment. Let's talk about what we're here for. Just when things were looking up for the Carolina Panthers, mom and dad are fighting. Yesterday, Steve Smith Sr. sent out a tweet. And in that tweet, he tagged at Cameron Newton. Yes, that one. The tweet reads, and I quote, "I've watched and listened from afar as you, at Cameron Newton, talk about at Panthers. None of us are perfect. Yes, we were 2-14 before you blessed us with your presence. The way you have talked about the Panthers lately, I'm very disappointed. I wish you nothing but the best. I'm done." Peace sign emoji. You know it's for real. You know it's heated when you get the peace sign emoji dropped on you. The deuces dropped on you. That's when you know it is for real. I'm going to start off by saying, friend of the show, Steve Smith.
Senior.
Friend of the show, Steve Smith. And famous Baltimore Raven, Steve Smith Sr. is a cat after having watched him for many years decimate my team physically and emotionally as absolutely the biggest talker in the game. And having have now a couple of conversations on and off the air with Steve Smith Sr. Steve Smith Sr. is what I refer to as a no bull guy. He's just not. I think he's a guy that understands as he continues to increase his brand as a broadcaster that he's kind of got to be a little bit more careful about where he treads. He doesn't want to give up that hard-ass personality, but he's got to be a little bit more careful about how he puts it out there. Him getting after Cam, and I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't know what Cam said to set this off. What I do know is that Cam Newton said that when he arrived to the Panthers, a team that was coming off of a 2-14 season the year before. And I don't know if this is what set Steve Smith off, but I bet it is.
I was going to say, what do you mean you don't know what set him off?
Well, I don't know specifically, but I have a guess. Cam said not terribly long ago that when he arrived in Charlotte, North Carolina to take over as QB1 for the Carolina Panthers, that he was surrounded by, great one, quote, a locker room full of losers, end quote. Now, there have been some other people that have chimed in on this discussion since that whole thing started. There was yesterday a couple of ex-Panthers that came out and said, I don't know what he was talking about. Like, I was having a good year. We were having a good year. We thought everybody was having a good time, whatever. Steve Smith was the one that said, you know what, bud? I'm done with your ass. I'm out of here. Don't talk to me anymore. And I'm, frankly, I think unsurprised that Steve Smith is a guy, Steve Smith Sr., is the guy that ultimately said, nah, bro, we ain't playing this game anymore. Look, it's whatever to me, I think is how the expression goes. It's whatever to me. It's whatever to me. Both of these cats are in the broadcasting world. Cam recently got a big step up in the broadcasting world as he was brought on board by ESPN to be a new talking head on their morning show. Cam is also a dude that since his not retirement, because he's not retired yet, but from his not retirement, which, by the way, I still don't understand that. I guess he just wants to leave the door open. I don't know. Maybe he thinks he's going to pull a Joe Flacco at some point. But since his not retirement, Cam Newton has been a outspoken voice, personality, whatever. So is Steve Smith. If I'm a Panther fan, the only thing that bums me out about this is that two guys that I really enjoy playing and watching play, and I'm a Saints fan. These two guys whooped my team's behinds more often than they didn't. They were two of my favorite players to watch play. When Cam Newton got there, that football team was 2-14 the year before. By Lonzo's definition, and he's had this take before, they were a locker room full of losers, as they had lost a lot.
Yeah, technically, that is true. But I am curious, and I've been a fan of the team for a long time as far as the Panthers go, and I cannot recall if when they started winning with Cam Newton, if all those losers were still on that team.
A bunch of them were. I don't recall.
So Cam Newton single-handedly made them winners. And that cannot be true because a quarterback can't do that, according to you.
No. A quarterback can have a massive impact on the ability of a football team to win. A quarterback cannot win by himself. I think the reason
apparently he can win with a bunch of losers, though, according to him.
I think what Steve-O is upset about here, and I understand his side of this as well, I think what Steve Smith Sr. is upset about here is the fact that Cam Newton came in, took over, kept that locker room together. They came out and they won the next year. And Steve's going, whoa, 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 whoa. If we were a locker room of losers, how'd you win with us?
Exactly.
Right? If we were a locker room of losers, how'd you lose with
us? But what he's saying is, Cam Newton is saying he was so great, he was able to take those losers and win with them. And this is more about Cam Newton. And Steve Smith Sr. is standing up for the team. And that's cool of him to do.
Cam Newton is definitely making a point to pat himself on the back, which I understand, because Cam Newton right this very second is doing the best that he can to give himself a brand boost. He's got himself on the four letter, acting in the role of national talking head. He started popping up in a bunch of entertainment aspects.
He's just one mistake away. And they're keeping that mic on and having fun with him until he makes that one mistake and says the one thing that he should
Steve
not
Smith
say.
Punches him in the nose.
I just mean the one controversial thing that gets him taken off. I mean, it's just like, I know, let's hand the mic to Cam. Because he'll say anything.
Has Cam, this is a question,
I think he's hurting himself more than he's helping himself. But
this is a question, not an accusation, because I don't know. Has Cam ever said anything like that before? Like, I know he's definitely
a
guy
that... As far as
this
goes, no, I don't remember him saying anything like that.
I think they give Cam a mic because Cam has some unique takes on the NFL. I agree with that. Cam has some interesting takes on the NFL. I agree with that. And now, he's whipped up some drama. That now I have to follow as if it's an episode of Young and the Restless for the next few days. As the world turns, Charlotte. Are those two shows still on TV? I have no idea.
What, As the World Turns?
And Young and the Restless.
I think Young and the Restless might be. I don't know. I really don't know.
No one listening to this show knows.
I was more of a Guiding Light guy growing up. Because, you know, small TV and have to watch what mom watches.
Speaking of Young and the Restless,
she poured the drink over his head. Yeah, okay.
That is an actual clip from an actual episode of the actual Young and the Restless leading up to this year's Super Bowl. Not like a Super Bowl promo, not like a commercial. That was from an episode of that show. You didn't have to break the nacho tray over your head.
That was real life, yo.
That's incredible.
All right, let's get to what is Xing. The first thing that's Xing is Vince Neil.
Vince Neil. I have no clue. He's 76 today.
No, actually, Vince Neil's jet ran into Vince Vaughn's jet. And no, the pilot died.
Oh
yeah, there's video.
Oh, like not like a bump on the runway.
Yeah, this happened, I believe, yesterday.
Oh,
there's video. You can see the video of they were on the runway.
Vince Neil was not on board, apparently.
Well, at the time they didn't know. I haven't seen this anyone, and I don't know if Vince Vaughn was on. All I know is all I saw was the pilot for Vince Neil's plane died, and I don't know what it was. I mean, if you look at it, if you watch the video. Kind of looks intentional. I don't know.
There can be only one, Vince.
Vince, yeah, apparently. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Travis Kelce.
There's one more Vince out there that 100% wins that battle if this is like a Highlander situation, but with Vince's, there's one more Vince out there that you know has zero issue playing dirty. Fire! Yeah. Yeah. All right, what is the next one?
Travis Kelce.
Okay. I think I know why this is trending. After the Super Bowl was over, El Presidente sent out a tweet about Taylor Swift, and Travis Kelce yesterday said that he was very disappointed and hurt that Donald Trump would attack Taylor Swift as if he hasn't been doing that for like 2 years now.
Yeah,
Trav?
That's not it. Okay. It's CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Yep.
Posted a picture of Travis's ex-girlfriend and said, you gave up this for that. And then apparently Travis's ex-girlfriend, according to the internet, so it must be true, was actually on the field when the Eagles won and was wearing Eagles gear.
Oh, somebody brought her as a troll, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So.
For sure, if that is the case. I'm going to tell you straight up, he was with my Saints for a while, which is why I know this. CJGJ is the biggest talker in the NFL today. I'm going to tell you straight up, he might be worse than Steve Smith Sr. was at his best.
All right, the next thing is sexing is Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog here. Kermit the Frog is trending in response to everything that Patrick Mahomes has ever said into a microphone.
All right, not bad.
No, it's not my best, but it's not my worst.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more about tone. I think you've got the delivery good, but Kermit is trending because Eagles fans burnt Kermit the Frog in the streets after they won the Super Bowl.
Disrespecting the Chiefs.
Yeah, no, I'm disrespecting Kermit the Frog, man.
A Super Bowl three-peat, but it will not be the Chiefs.
Yeah, I am not making that into a promo.
You know that it might be the Eagles.
Why do I sing better as Kermit the Frog than I do as me? That's unfortunate.
I don't know. And finally, the last thing that's X-ing is pitchers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Cubs and the Dodgers have pitchers and catchers reporting today. Our spring baseball, 2 weeks away, opening day for the Cubs and the Dodgers is 1 month and 1 week away. Y'all have a spectacular rest of your day. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll come back tomorrow to do it all over again, but better, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!